Hi there, club members, and welcome to this Lunch and Learn. And our focus on today's Lunch and Learn is a strategy to help you make a little difference, a 10% difference that's going to end up having quite a big substantial effect on your annual turnover and revenue for your practice. And so I'm lending some inspiration from Brian Tracy. He's a renowned best-selling author and speaker on effective business strategies. And so let's get straight into it. And just a little reminder, thank you everyone for you progressing over from the live sessions into the Lunch and Learns. And a reminder that you just go straight to the website, I'll just open it up now, into the club, and that's now what the Club Hub used to be. So the club is both the advertising page and the members only page as well. And this is where you scroll through all of the many presentations that we've covered in the club. You've got that full complete library there. Here it's got become a member to access the presentation, but of course you've got complete access to all of them. It's much easier in this format to find topics that are relevant to your practice as of today. And as of today, Victoria are now out of lockdown, so that's exciting. So let's hope that you're so busy seeing patients for the next few days, you won't even have time for a Lunch and Learn, but do diarize it for later on. This is a good one. So I'm going to go into my PowerPoint presentation just to guide us through. And the topic, as you know, the JPPS 10x5 strategy, or 10x5 strategy. How to make a 10% performance improvement to generate 30% profit improvement. That sounds pretty enticing, yeah? Yeah, just double checking my time, make sure I stick to my roughly half hour. So when we talk about increasing the profit or increasing the revenue, let's talk about increasing the revenue of a dental practice. We're looking at doing it in two separate ways. We either reduce the costs down, so if we reduce the outgoings, therefore we get to keep more of the revenue in the bank account. The benefit to reducing cost down is it's because usually pretty quick and immediate. You can make adjustments straight away and have those reflected in your monthly profit and loss reports. The disadvantage to reducing costs is sometimes it can mean that you are lowering the standard of the quality of the consumables that you're getting. And so what seems like a cheaper composite material ends up very sticky and takes even longer to place. And so then you're losing production time on it. Maybe the tissues are cheaper, but you're using twice as many because they're so thin and flimsy. So sometimes the lower quality consumables does play an impact on your experience in using them. The other problem with reducing costs is that if you overdo it, you are then creating a negative impact on the patient experience. So let's reduce costs down by not having a steri nurse, or not having a treatment plan coordinator, or not hiring as highly skilled team members. And so we're reducing the hourly rate we need to pay. Therefore, what you're creating then is a customer experience of the future that is less than it was in the past. So you've always got to be wary of overdoing these cost-cutting measures. The other problem with reducing costs is how sustainable really is it? So once you've cut a few costs down, they remain down, but do you keep dwindling them down? Not usually. They've got a ceiling and a floor, and that's where you're stuck for the coming future. And so it's usually a temporary fix for a problem in revenue. So the better way to increase the profits of your practice is by increasing the sales. The good thing about increasing the sales is that it is sustainable over the long term. So you're increasing sales now, you'll be able to maintain that with your new systems and strategies over the long term. You're also improving the return on investment of all expenses. If you think, okay, I pay this much rent and I produce this much within the rental premises, when you increase your sales, your rent doesn't increase. Quite often when you increase your sales because you're becoming more efficient, more productive, better at what you do, you're not necessarily increasing your wages bill by employing more people. And so you are improving the return on investment on your rent, on your wages bill, sometimes on your marketing, that can remain the same too. You're putting different systems in place that don't necessarily impact the amount of money you're spending on marketing and promotion. The other wonderful thing around increasing sales as a way to increase your profit is that you are increasing the value of the business. One of the ways a dental practice is valued, of course, is the value of the client base, the goodwill. How long has it been in place for? How many of them are there, and how much do they spend? And how long has that been going on for? So increasing the sales through increase is that also increases the value of the business, which is a wonderful outcome. The drawbacks to increasing sales is quite often you need the whole team on board, better training so you can actually improve the systems that you're rolling out. And quite often as well, you may be increasing the sales because you are increasing the marketing budget or because you are improving the patient experience so they refer more of their friends and family by adding a treatment plan coordinator, for example. So there could be an initial increase to expenditure to actually generate the additional sales. So I want to go through the 10 ways that you can achieve higher turnover as I identified and tweaked a little bit by myself that Brian Tracy states. So he, as I said before, he is a renowned name, especially in America, and he does is quite a thought leader in business. And Brian Tracy states that you cannot increase profits directly, only indirectly. He lists the following 10 variables as areas to improve in order to achieve higher turnover. So if you're looking at increasing the turnover of your practice, move through these 10 steps with me now and think about which ones you would be able to apply in your practice. Number one, new patient generation. It's a bit of an easy one, isn't it? Most practices that I come across think more sales, let's get more new patients coming through the door. It doesn't always equate. But that is one way, absolutely, that you can increase your turnover, and that's new patient generation. How do you attract new patients to your practice? You can expand on your current methods of attracting them. The goal is to increase the number of new patients attending your practice by increasing the ways in which they find out about you. So, of course, once you've got the goal, let's increase turnover. And we're going to do that by improving our new patient generation. How are we going to do that? Nothing changes. If nothing changes, we can modify how we currently do it or add new ways of currently doing it. The second way to achieve higher turnover is patient conversion. How you convert new patients into ongoing visitors can also be called your patient retention rate. Train yourself and your team to better customer service and communication skills, so a higher percentage of your new patients end up returning for ongoing treatment. So patient conversion, and this is where I was saying before, sometimes new patients alone, an increase to those, is not the way to higher turnover. You think it will be, but it's only sustainable if those new patients come back. And so you need that secondary step. And so when you're looking at patient conversion, do think to yourself, how do we currently treat our patients? What value do we provide to them? How lovely an experience do we provide to them? What can we do to improve it, improve our systems in recalling them, bringing them back in for incomplete treatment, for example? So we improve our patient conversion. This can also be key in the way you market. If you just market to any new patient and you put a special deal and do a checkup and a clean for $80, then you are going to be appealing to a group who don't necessarily return on an ongoing basis to a dental surgery. They just want a special deal to get a cleaning done this month. And it's absolutely been my experience at several practices where they've got very high new patient figures because of special offerings. And I've got nothing against special offerings. This is just one of the drawbacks to them, potential drawbacks to them, that when in 6 months down the track, they've got contacted to say, come back in for your next 6 monthly appointment time, or we pre-book this appointment time, just reminding you about that. The first question is, what special offer do you have on this month? And when they find out there's none, they break that, or they fail, or they cancel that appointment time. So do be aware of how you're marketing, who you're marketing to, because patient conversion is a key way of increasing your turnover, because you've got more people in the book getting treatment done, then make sure that you are aware of that when you do set up your marketing and promotion campaigns, that you're trying to appeal to the dental patient type that is a regular attender. The third way to achieve higher turnover is the number of transactions that you have for each particular patient. This is the number of individual sales or services that you make to each patient that you acquire. By increasing the frequency of purchase by 10%, for example, you increase your sales and increase your profits by the same percentage. That makes sense, yeah? Increasing the number of transactions in your practice will be achieved by improving on your current numbers of patients who attend for their recalls, for example, and encouraging more patients who have outstanding treatment to attend to have this work completed. So from a patient that normally you just had the emergency consult done and the x-ray, then you really got a great system of follow-ups, and so you're encouraging them to come back for the checkup and a clean and then come back for the ongoing treatment that's been identified during the dental examination. And so you're increasing the number of transactions that we have per patient. The fourth way to increase higher turnover is the size of the transaction. So this is the size of the sale and the profit that you earn from each transaction. Getting patients to complete their treatment plans over fewer appointment times reduces your practice costs and increases the value of each appointment. Consider restructuring your appointment book to allow for fewer larger appointment times rather than many short visits. And so rather than having 3 1-hour appointment times to get all those fillings done, let's have 2 longer appointment times that in totality are fewer moments in the appointment book. We still get all the work done, but we don't have all of the let's get things numbed 3 times over, we're only doing it twice, let's get everything set up, let's use all the bits and pieces and all the things that you need to do to actually perform the treatment itself. It is far more efficient and productive to have a smaller number and longer appointment times than shorter appointment times and many of them. Keep in mind too, one of the things that you can do, I know with Dental for Windows, I'm sure with all of the other dental software systems, you can also do this as well. If you are running off a 15-minute appointment book, it goes in 15-minute increments, appointment time at 10, 10:15, 10:30, try shifting it to 10 minutes. So appointment times at 10, 10:10, 10:20, 10:30. What that can do is really save the few extra moments that you go, I need to see this patient. It's only such a quick review, and the shortest appointment time that we have is a 15 minute. It really only takes 10 minutes though, including the room changeover. And so you can all of a sudden at the end of the day, increase the number of productive moments that you can offer other patients for their treatments. The fifth way is profit margin per service. So profit margin is the gross profit that you make from each service. By continually seeking ways to raise the price or to lower the cost of your services without actually decreasing any quality, you can therefore increase the profit. So be aware that every dollar we raise in price, if we hold the costs constant, so we're still paying that dental nurse the same rate, we're still paying the rent, we're still using the same composite, every extra dollar flows straight to the bottom line as profit. Every dollar we reduce expenses, if we hold the sales and the revenues constant instead, also goes straight to the bottom line as a net profit. So if we're putting everything else the same, but now we're using a just as high quality composite that's costing $1 less, then that $1 goes straight into profit line. The sixth way to achieve higher turnover is cost of patient acquisition. So this is the amount of money you have to invest or spend to get a new patient. You should be continually seeking creative ways to improve your advertising and promotion so that it costs less to attract new patients. And there is a practice that I've been involved with for the past 6 years, and they still haven't spent anything on marketing because their word of mouth referrals fills up their new patient figures and has really built up their patient base beautifully. And so there are absolutely sound methods of internal marketing that you can do within your practice where you don't have to spend that much on marketing, but you can still have very strong new patient numbers coming through your practice. Another way to reduce the turnover is increasing patient referrals. So this measures the patients who come to you as a result of the referrals from your satisfied patients. Developing one or more of the proven referral systems for your practice will have an inordinately positive impact on your profitability. And so when you've got these lovely systems rolling out, you're treating your patients so beautifully that when you ask, can you refer friends and family, they go, absolutely, I've been doing it all the time anyway because I love coming here. Then you are not having to spend any money on SEO marketing and Google AdWords and Facebook, social media, all of those sort of things. And if you can really bolster the number of referrals coming from your existing patients, it's a great way of increasing turnover. How about eliminate costly services and activities? So ensure you are not offering services that provide little or no profit. And one of those classics is mouth guards. I know it's a very short appointment time quite often, but mouth guards are one of those things where it can take quite a number of appointment times if you're going through the footy season, and the amount of money you get back for each mouth guard when parents actually do a bit of a shop around. So you can't actually put the same profit margin that you would normally on a mouth guard. You really need to keep it within a range of what's offered in the area by the local prosthetist and other dental practices and people that go out to footy clinics and get them all done on site. That's one of those classic appointment times that you think, gosh, every now and again we do have to do a remake, every now and again the colour's wrong, or every now and again, you know, these appointment times are taking 15 minutes or half an hour each time and we're not getting the return on investment. Think to yourself what value it really does hold for your practice, and then think to yourself, gosh, we've got a prosthetist down the road, I think I'm going to just refer all my mouth guards down to him. And so do think about the offering of services that provide little or no profit. Either modify the fee you attach to these services. You can even say to your patients, we actually charge much more for the mouth guards here because of our costs, but I know that you can get them cheaper down the road. So they think you're fantastic because you're not money driven, but you're also not taking, but you're also creating that environment that if you take on that appointment time, it's much more satisfying and good for the business. The ninth way is reducing your break-even point. So the break-even point, this is the number of services that you must sell each month just to break even before you start making a profit, just to cover all of the expenses. And you can figure out what that amount is just by looking at your previous profit and losses. Look at your previous profit and losses and the total expenses. That's your break-even point. That's what you have to make to pay those bills before anything gets added as a plus sign down the very bottom as the result of that P&L. So calculate at what point through the month your practice has covered all the expenses and is now adding profit. The sooner in the month this is, the better. Sometimes it's the whole month. If you're paying attention to these figures now, you might be thinking, okay, let's get to break-even point at week 3. So everything that we make in week 4 is profit. Also, use your break-even point to evaluate the potential effectiveness of any advertising or any other expense that you incur to increase your turnover. Every expense to increase profits must be seen as an investment with an expected rate of return that is greater than the cost. So if you're going to spend $1,000 on social media marketing, you need to get at least $1,000 back to even start making a profit. And if you don't, modify it or change the way of marketing because it's not working for you. And the 10th way is real simple, raise your fees. In many situations, you can raise fees by 5 or 10% without experiencing any market resistance. Because your services are of superior quality and your team is friendly and helpful, a small increase to your overall prices will not drive your patients away. I do encourage you every single July, raise your fees between 1% and 3%. Go through all of the services and make a judgment call between 1% and 3% what you're going to be increasing those fees to. Your patients won't notice increases of fees in the root canal fee or fillings fee. They may notice it if they're regular attenders for your examination and cleaning fee. So maybe increase those every second year rather than every year. But still, even if you increase it every year, it's only a big issue if you make it sound like a big issue. Don't advertise it to everybody that we've increased our fees every year. You don't need to. And if a patient notices, to say, yes, we had a small fee increase, I hope that doesn't affect the amount of value you receive from us in your mind. Make a bit of a joke about it and build a bit of rapport about it. Because most people do quite understand that in order for a business to maintain their viability, they need to make sure they're constantly increasing their fees because the costs to them are constantly increasing. Your rent increases every single year in most circumstances. Your consumable costs will be going up. Your laboratory expenses will be going up. Everything goes up. So they're the 10 ways that Brian Tracy states that you can achieve, with a little bit of tweaking from myself, to achieve higher turnover in your practice. So when you have the goal of let's increase our turnover by 10%, under normal circumstances, you'd pick one of those and then you'd put a strategy behind it, have a chat with your team members and move boldly forward. But there's another strategy that I want you to be aware of. I think it's, and you'll agree, it's much more impactful on the bottom line. So this is the 10% by 5 strategy. So this is a bit of an example that we're using here, example practice. Let's think of a single chair practice. In that chair, we're doing 8 clinical hours every day. A 4-day week, not a 5-day week, 4-day week to make sure that the dentist is looking after their body well enough that they can continue on providing dental services for decades to come. We're working 45 weeks a year, that takes into consideration annual leave, a few courses and public holidays. 2 hours lost in failed appointment times per week. That seems like an average of what I see. 2 hours lost failed appointment times every week. 3 hours lost in inefficient booking per week. So little gaps in between the appointment times, that section was never even booked. The average appointment length is 90 minutes. Average income per appointment, we're going to say $600. Therefore, the hourly average is $400 when you space it out over the whole week. 30 new patients per month. These are all very conservative, realistic figures. And the patient conversion rate is 60%. And if you want to talk more about patient conversion rate, look at previous live sessions / lunch and learns or contact me. I'll send you through some information. Cost per appointment, including auxiliary staff, wages, materials, etc., is $110. So with every appointment time that comes through, given the averages, we are looking at the cost per appointment time of $110 for staff, wages, and consumables. So the turnover is in that scenario, $792,000 for the year. We want to increase that. We're going to increase it by 10%, which of course is $79,200. So by the end of the next complete year, once we reach our goal, we would have made $871,200. And we would have all sat back, rightly so, and said, success, good on us. We set a goal and we achieved it. We can do this. This is wonderful. And there is nothing wrong with that, but you can boost it up to be even better. What the 10% by 5 strategy is that with this example practice, I've shown you what the impact is if you increase 10% in one area of your business. Maybe it was we're going to increase fees by 10%. Maybe it was increasing our number of new patients coming in, our patient retention, the number of services provided. But let's have a look at if we really identify, hone in on 5 key areas of our business that we know if we put the right strategy in place for, we can improve those areas by just 10%. It's actually not a huge amount, just 10%. So let's have a look at the impact when we identify these 5 areas and then improve them by 10%. Single chair, 8 hours per day. We're going to, 1, improve appointment book downtime by 10%. So it's not going to be, where's the downtime? This here. 2 hours lost failed appointment times and 3 hours lost for inefficient booking. We're going to just improve that by 10%. Small, tiny bit. Just by focusing on that area, that will improve naturally by 10%. So that means we're going to have an extra 5 productive hours every week, which given those figures, in the example practice, that equates to $99,000 by the end of the year. Oh my gosh. The second thing we've identified that we can improve by 10% is the average income per appointment time. So we've got the average income per appointment time at $600, therefore hourly average is $400. And we're going to increase that by 10%. We're going to do that. Increase fees and or amount of treatment performed. That's going to have an impact of $57,600. Massive, isn't it? Tens of thousands of dollars by the end of the year. The third area is we're going to improve our new patient numbers by 10%. That means 3 extra new patients every month, because we were sitting on 30 new patients a month. And that's going to deliver to us 23,760, utilizing all these figures that are in this grid. And then we are going to be improving our patient conversion rate by 10%. We're going to do that by improving the booking of advised treatment. That's going to add a further $53,697 by the end of the year to our turnover. And the fifth area we're going to improve on is the cost per appointment time. We're going to improve the cost per appointment by 10%, and that's going to be $10,560. Now, improving in these 5 separate areas by 10%, only 10%, will have a yearly impact of $244,617. So instead of, by the end of the year, we are turning over $871,200, that same year, if we impacted 5 areas rather than just had this overall, let's increase turnover by 10%, if we were really honed in, what 5 areas are we going to increase by 10%, and let's put a strategy in place to do it, look at that. Over $1 million, your practice is now turning over every single year. And that is pretty glorious. So what do? You think, yes, this makes perfect sense. And my big thing to tell you is I love open book management. I love taking these sort of things to the whole team. A lot of people are shy about open book management, and I will do possibly even just the next lunch and learn about the value of doing open book management, practicing open book management, where all your team members see the turnover. And a lot of people are fearful around that because they think, oh, they'll think I make so much money. They have no idea about the expenses and the stress and the this and the that and the fluctuations. Well, tell them. Tell them. They are not stupid. They know how much the practice turns over. They can see. They're there to see all those patients coming through and paying their bills and everything. When you tell somebody just the turnover, it's up to their imagination about how much money all the owners are taking home in big bags and rolling around in it every night. It just doesn't happen. So tell them the full story so they have a true appreciation for what it takes to run the business. So they get to see the income, but all the expenses, the wages, the consumables, the electricity, the accountant, the bookkeeper, the maintenance on equipment, the gardening, the sign maintenance, getting rid of graffiti out the front, the water line broke down. We're down because the compressor went down for half a day. We lost half a day of production. Show them everything. And that's where you can start to really become more of a cohesive team. There's no more us and them. We're all in this, oh, I hate this term, we're not all in this together. We are all moving down towards the same goal together. With the open book management, then you can have a brainstorming session with the whole team. Whole team, let's look at this 10% by 5 strategy. What 5 areas do we all think we can have a 10% impact on to increase our yearly annual turnover? And you can even put in place a bonus at the end of that year. And I'm not talking about a financial bonus for each staff member. If you know me well, you know that I'm not a big fan of those. But you can say, if we do reach the $1 million mark, what are we going to do? Let's put a budget on it of $5,000. We can, as a practice, throw around ideas of what we do with that $5,000 to make all of our lives more enjoyable. Do we want a dishwasher for the staff room? Do we want to get a herb garden out the back that we can all tend to and pick from and have a lovely gardening feeling during our break times? Do we want to pay for all of our cars to be cleaned and detailed once every quarter? Let's have a think about how we can spend $5,000 if we reach our target to make sure our experience of each other and our life within the practice is even more enjoyable. So that's always a good incentive as well and a nice reward for everybody. Once you've got the whole team together, that was just highlighting how much of a big impact it is. So rather than increasing by 79,200, you've increased by 244,000. So you've just about trebled it and had a 30% increase in your overall turnover rather than just the 10% done previously. So think about, what are we going to do? What are the five areas we're going to concentrate on? And if you can't think of any, let's just go with these ones here that I've identified in the past for people. We're going to increase new patient numbers and then get the brainstorming thing still happening. How are we going to do that? We can't just say that we're going to do it and expect it to happen. We need to put a plan in place. Let's think of some strategies. Okay, let's establish a referral program in this practice. Let's get some Facebook adverts happening. And what about some local area mailbox drops? And then you extrapolate on each of those ideas and go, what does each person need to do in order to get these things up and running as soon as possible? So we've got the whole year to benefit from these changes that we're implementing within the practice. What about patient retention? Let's look at the new patient experience. We'll get a mystery shopper to come in and give us some hints on what we're doing great and what we can do to improve what we're doing. Incomplete treatment follow-up. Let's go back to the lunch and learn of incomplete follow-up. Go through, Julie will let us know, give us the scripts and all the rest of what we need to do to improve the way we get patients to return for their incomplete treatment so they become a returning patient, a retained patient rather than just a fly-by-nighter. Customer service training and refresher. We could all do consistently well with refresher courses on how to communicate, how to listen, how to speak clearly, how to deliver great customer service. And there is the JPPS online course, Delivering Great Customer Service. That's a great way to start. Fees per appointment time. We haven't increased our fees for a couple of years. We're going to increase fees by 2% across the board straight away. We're going to try to get more treatment performed over fewer visits. This is a focus for all the clinicians. So think how, rather than think for the patient, let's just get quadrant by quadrant, just think, okay, for the patient and us, let's go half mouth and half mouth. And what about nursing and steri efficiency? If we are really running behind because of room changeovers, let's have the nurses all to get together and think of ways to make the room changeover really swift, or do we need to get a steri nurse on board to come in and help with that room changeover? Effective scheduling. So let's make sure we're doing all the confirmations. We're doing back-to-back bookings with no little minutes of gap in between each booking. Effective treatment plan module usage as well. So there's no guesswork. When the patient comes out to the reception area and they say, I need two fillings, don't you go, oh, normally the dentist asks for 60 minutes for those two fillings and you just book in two fillings for 60 minutes. Little did you know, they were only just buccal lesions and it was only going to take half an hour. So make sure you're using the treatment plan module effectively in your software, or clearly articulating it to the receptionist what times need to be booked. With the presumptions, it's quite often that you're spending your overbooking time for what you're actually doing. And we're also going to try to reduce costs by 10%. So let's establish a budget, supply company discount. So if we're going to just all of a sudden go, we're going to mainly order through you guys, will you give us a 10% discount? Yes, done. That's the cost reduction. You've achieved 10% improvement in that area straight away just by organizing an across the board 10% discount if we promise just to order through you. So quite often it's not that easy and you may already be having that. So think of other ways that you can reduce the costs down. For example, the just enough ordering process. So be so on top of the ordering process that you're not ordering another Alvagil when there's one Alvagil left. And we know how long it takes to get through a bottle of Alvagil normally, but you are ordering a new Alvagil when there's just a little bit left of Alvagil and one more month's worth of use, and then you're going to have to need the next one coming through. So you're having less stock on the shelves, which is more money in your bank account. So have this brainstorming session with everybody and look at, identify five areas where everyone feels confident they can put steps in place to have just a 10% improvement. It's not a lot. And as I said before, sometimes it's just by focusing on that area, all of a sudden it increases by 10% anyway, because you are doing something universal. You're putting the intention out there to the world. Once you've got that, then use the JPPS Goals, Strategies, Tasks Excel document. And this is where you create the full plan and monitor the progress. And I will attach this to, you'll find it attached there. If you need assistance in moving through it and populating it, please let me know. But it is, in essence, there's financial goal, team culture goals, increased new patients, type of goal. You fill in that to whatever is good for you. Whatever is in bold blue, that's the area that we're looking on right now. So with every financial, for example, strategy one is going to be improved treatment acceptance. Then I want you to develop three strategies for each of those five areas. So each of these five areas, you've got three strategies. And then for each of those three strategies, you've got a series of tasks. It doesn't have to be up to five, but you've got a series of tasks that individuals need to complete in order to get that change happening. Make sure you put who's accountable, put a due date on things, and then develop the method of monitoring the progress and also tracking that. We're going to monitor this particular, this is the example. So we're going to improve patient treatment plan acceptance rates. We're going to know if we're being effective by tracking the treatment acceptance rate via day sheet cross check. That's a JPPS process that you would have heard about in the past. And again, if you don't know about it, certainly let me know. This is where you print out the day sheet, you circle each patient that you've suggested treatment to, not recalls, just treatment, short-term treatment, and then you tick them if they've booked an appointment time. At the end of the month, go through it one more time, make sure all the circles of who have got appointment times have been ticked, and then you count it up, and that's your treatment acceptance rate, treatment plan acceptance rate. And that's what's going to be the thing that you look at to track your progress. And you really do need to do that on a monthly basis moving through. You don't want to get to the 6 month mark and have a look and go, I'm not quite sure if we're reaching these targets here. You want this to be something that's happening every single month. Your team meetings will be even more exciting than what they already are, because all the relevant people are bringing these figures and these tracking reports to the team meeting. And if you go through the identifying achieving practice goals online course, the JPPS online course, that will go through all of this as well. Just the importance of tracking your progress regularly throughout the year. So it gives you the time to see what's going on, modify what you do, or indeed flip what you do to something new because it's just not working. And so by the end of the year, you are more than likely to be achieving your practice goals. So I'm attaching that. I'll also attach the JPPS Excel document of tracking key performance indicators to assist you in that process. So there we have it. I've gone pretty well to time too, only a couple of minutes over. If you have any questions about this topic of the 10% by 5 strategy, please let me know. Also, please let me know how you're going with it. I would love to see people having great success with it because I know that it is absolutely possible. Have a wonderful rest of your lunchtime in your discussions, and I look forward to seeing you next Wednesday for next Wednesday's Lunch and Learn. Thanks. Bye-bye.